Well, the story was told some years ago of a pastor who found the roads blocked one Sunday morning and was forced to skate on the river to get to the church, which he did. When he arrived, the elders of the church were horrified that the preacher had skated on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. After the service, they held a meeting. And the pastor tried to explain to the elders that it was either skate to church or not go. Finally, one elder asked, "Well, did you enjoy it?" When the preacher said no, the elder board decided it was all right, and he kept his job. Now, I don't know if that's a true story. I don't know if that's a made-up story. But I want to tell you, I've been a pastor for 31 years. And not only a pastor for 31 years, but I've traveled, I've spoke at different churches, and so I have quite a bit of experience. And I can tell you, one, thank God, that is not what our elder team is like. We don't have a legalistic elder team, but I can also tell you 31 years of ministry, counseling people that have come out of churches that were very legalistic, that it happens in churches today. There's a lot of legalism in the church today. Instead of being gospel-centric, churches that are really rules-centric. And that's really what we're confronting today, what Jesus is confronting today in the book of Mark. And so if you're new, if you're visiting with us or haven't been here in a while, we are in the book of Mark. We are taking our time. Every single verse of the book of Mark we are going to look at over the course of this year, all the way till we get to Easter, because we want to know what it means to truly be a follower of Jesus. The book of Mark tells us what it means to really follow after Jesus. Not a man-made religion, but to truly follow in the way of Jesus. And what we discover, one of the themes that we see in this book is Jesus time and time again confronting the religious establishment of the day, who have turned it away from relationship to rules and regulations. And we see that today. So if you have a Bible this morning, turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We also have some Bibles in the cabinet. If you'd like a Bible this morning, just raise your hand and we'll have someone bring you a Bible this morning. Otherwise, you could also look on your phone if you like. But we are in Mark chapter 2. Jesus is going to once again, and by the way, Mark 2, like Jesus has barely started his public ministry yet, and he's already had a number of confrontations with these religious leaders because they were legalists. And so if you're taking notes today, here's what we're looking at today. We're looking at the idea, am I a legalist or a gospelist? I think I made up that word. I'm not even sure gospelist is a word, but I decided to use it. Okay, so someone can let me know later in the week if that's a real word. But am I a legalist or am I a gospelist? In other words, is the gospel, the truth, the reality of the gospel, does that flow out into my relationships and how I live and do life? Or is it truly about the rules, that I think that the rules are going to make me right with God? Let me do this. Before we start in Mark 2, let me just kind of give you a definition, okay, of legalism, okay? So the most basic definition of legalism is this, okay? And let me just pause. I want to see, because I think I know how this is going to turn out. If growing up, if you have like church experience, or even if you didn't go to church, but you were around church people, if you've ever seen legalism in other Christians in your life, or in the churches you grew up in, if you've ever seen that in your own life, would you raise your hand? Okay, look around, right? Don't think that Church on the Rock can't be guilty of legalism. So it's important for us to really pay attention to the words of Jesus today. But here's a basic definition of legalism, okay? The belief that one can merit salvation by observing the law. Okay, that's kind of the biblical definition, all right? It's the belief that one can merit salvation by observing the law. the law. Now, if somehow you observed the Old Testament law and never once committed a sin and were sinless, sure. But that's impossible. It's impossible. The law never revealed our spirituality. The law reveals our sinfulness and our desperate need of a Savior. The law brings us to Christ. In fact, Galatians 3 talks about the idea that the law is a tutor or a teacher that points us to Christ. But these religious leaders, the ones that all the people were listening to, you know, in the synagogues and in the temple, they totally missed it. They didn't get it. So legalism is the belief that one can merit salvation by observing the law. But I want to expand that a little bit because it can go beyond that. Legalism isn't just an issue at salvation. Legalism can be an issue of our sanctification. That's our daily, ongoing becoming more like Jesus. We can become legalistic after we give our lives to Christ. We can say, oh, I'm saved by grace. You know, I know it's not by works. I'm saved by the grace of God. But then we can start trying to live our daily life by the law instead of by grace. And so this is for not just salvation, this is for our sanctification, that we understand, is it the gospel flowing through me or is there some legalism that I've allowed into my life? Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3 says this, "Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit, Holy Spirit, by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" This is a big deal with Paul. It's a big deal with Jesus that we're not trying to be found right by our actions. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of the Disciplines, put it this way, "Nothing can choke the heart and soul out of walking with God like legalism." I don't know about you, I know some very legalistic people, and they do not radiate the joy of the Lord. My guess is everyone that raised their hand today, that you probably thought of someone or a group of people. And my guess is that group of people do not radiate the loving, compassionate, merciful joyfulness of the Lord. And that was no different with the religious leaders of the day. And so I want to give you five things as we walk through the end of chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3. I'm going to give you five things this morning. The difference between a legalist and a gospelist. Okay? Five different things. And it all centers around an Old Testament law of the Sabbath, okay? Now, the Sabbath was established before God gave the law to Moses, all right? God really, I would say, he developed this idea of a Sabbath rest at creation, right? He chose to rest on the seventh day. Well, then when God gives the law to his chosen nation Israel, he includes that as one of the Ten Commandments, the importance of taking a Sabbath rest. Now, the word Sabbath simply means cease, to cease from something. All right? And the idea is that a day a week, you're ceasing from work. You're giving your body an opportunity to recover and recuperate. And you know what I'm saying. And your soul, especially, to recuperate and be refreshed. I want to tell you, this week was crazy around here. All right? It was morning to night all week long, and I want to tell you how good it feels today to wake up and just worship with God's people. Amen. You know, it refreshes the soul. All right? We need that in our lives. We need a Sabbath rest on a regular basis in our life. So Jesus in no way is saying that the Sabbath, taking a day a week to rest and recover, is not important. But we're going to see Jesus' concern was with what the religious leaders made the Sabbath. So let's go ahead and pick it up. Verse 23 through 26, chapter 2. "One Sabbath, he," Jesus, "was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? And so he uses a character from the Old Testament that obviously these religious leaders who knew their Hebrew scriptures inside and out, a hero to them. He uses an example and he says, well, what's the deal? Don't you know what David did? You guys love David. You don't know what David did? In the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. Now, let me just stop for a moment here, okay? Let me look at a couple things, okay? So, first of all, gross. That doesn't seem very tasty to me, plucking heads of grain, okay? But apparently in Bible times, that's what they'd do if they were really hungry. Now, use your sanctified imagination here, right? I mean, they didn't have a Chick-fil-A. You know, they're doing ministry all day. You know, it's like, hey, Peter, can you make a call? Can you go online? Can you order about 100 chicken nuggets? Get a couple gallons of lemonade for us, please. All right, it's been a long day. We're tired. All right, they traveled by foot, of course, you know. They didn't have that luxury, and as they're doing ministry, they were very hungry. And so as they're walking in the fields, they needed something to eat, and so they just plucked the grains from the top, and they were eating them. And the Pharisees saw it. What are they doing? This is not lawful. This is really important. Lawful according to who? Lawful according to man? Or lawful according to God? You see what the religious leaders did and the rabbis of the day? They went beyond what the Old Testament law had said about the Sabbath. And they created all of these other rules and regulations that people had to follow. And they had to follow these laws made by man. Have you ever noticed legalists want you to follow laws made by man? Preferences, things that they say make you spiritual instead of what Scripture actually says. I mean, it was ridiculous. I think I've shared this example before. You couldn't spit on the Sabbath day. I'd be in real trouble if you ever sit in the front row. You know, we're going to provide umbrellas for the front row, okay? I mean, I get excited. I'd be violating their laws every 10 minutes. But you couldn't spit on the Sabbath day, and here's why. Because your spit hits the ground, which were dusty roads, and then you stepped it and became mud. You just cultivated the land, and you just sinned on the Sabbath because you worked on the Sabbath. You know another one of the man-made laws that they added to the Sabbath? You could only walk 1,999 steps. Now, some of you have a Fitbit, right? I've done my research. They didn't have Fitbits in Bible times. That's why you pay me the big bucks to know these things, guys, okay? They didn't have Fitbits, okay? So, like, we know how many steps. You have Fitbit or some other, actually, I have not a Fitbit, something else. It tells me steps that I've done, okay? Oh, my goodness, I'm already at 4,200 steps. I have sinned. I have committed 2,206 sins. Shame. But they added that. 1,999 steps is all you can take. You take 2,000, now you've sinned. I want you to just stop for a minute. No Fitbits. So on the Sabbath day, this day of rest, this day when the soul is supposed to be replenished, you're sitting there counting every step you take. Oh my goodness, was that 150 or 152? Well, now I better just stop at 1,800. But I mean, you literally would have to count every step you took on the Sabbath day to make sure that you didn't hit 2,000 steps, because then it was considered work. That's too strenuous on the Sabbath. Did you get what I'm saying here? It was ridiculous. These man-made rules that they added. So here's the first thing I want to share with you, the first of five things. Legalism follows the letter of the law. Gospelism follows the spirit of the law. Right? A legalist. Jesus and his disciples, what is the spirit of the law? What is the point? Why does the law exist? Like, what was the reason for it? What's the spirit behind it? They're not legalists. They like to not only God's law, but add all these rules and regulations. You know why? Because then if they follow them, then they're self-righteous. Right? Oh, look at this. We went even beyond what the Bible even says. Like, we don't do this or that or this or that. And oh, man, look how spiritual we are. Look at verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Right? Jesus is like, you don't even get it. This law wasn't created for you to be a slave to. The law was created to serve you. The law was given to you to do good for you. Listen, every law in Scripture is there not to prohibit our joy, but to enhance our joy in the Lord. When you look at the Ten Commandments, and we did a series on that, for those of you that were here, those Ten Commandments were not given to say, oh, you do these 10 things and you're right with God. All right, you better do these 10 things or else. They were given to give us healthy boundaries and healthy principles in our lives that would lead to healthy and holy relationships. I don't know if you noticed, but when you turn in there, there's the Ten Commandments. We didn't put that up there. That's been here. Bill, did you put that up there? Was that already here? Already here. You turn in. Every time you turn in, you see the Ten Commandments. What a great reminder. God has given us his word, right? So that we could have holy and healthy relationships. Number two, legalism burdens people. Gospelism blesses people. When we realize our inability to live out the law and we turn to Christ, what was Jesus' first thing he said, his first recorded message? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Who are the people that are going to be part of the kingdom of God? The people who acknowledge and admit their inability in and of themselves to be right with God. It's the spiritual beggar who says, I need you. I need your grace. I need what Christ did for me. Right? That's the gospel. Is to realize how holy and pure God is and the inability for any of us to reach God by our own works and abilities. The gospel says Christ did what I could never do. He lived a sinless life, but he died the sinner's death in my place and then rose from the dead and defeated the power of sin, Satan, and death. And that's what I stand in. That's my righteousness. Not, oh, did you see all these things I did this week? Oh, my. Aren't I spiritual? No. Look what God has done in my life. Not look what I have done for God. Look what God has done in my life today. That's the gospel. Legalism says, look what I've done. Gospelism says, look what God is doing in my life. Legalism burdens people, but gospelism blesses people. That's what he's saying. The Sabbath was given to be a blessing, not a burden. And we could go on and look at all the different other things that we see in Scripture. Listen, I'm going to step on a few toes. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 13? It says, keep the wedding bed pure. There's a reason why God reserve sexual intimacy for marriage. It's not to be a killjoy. It's because there's something holy
and sacred and beautiful when a man and a woman in a covenant relationship come together and become one flesh. He wants to preserve our joy in marriage, not to prohibit it. We could spend all day looking at all the different laws, if you will, all the different commandments in Scripture. What's behind each of them is a God who loves us and a God who wants the best for us and a God who knows we are of dust and in and of ourselves, we can't live them out without His mercy and grace every day. Amen. That's the difference between a gospelist and a legalist, is acknowledging that, knowing that. Look at verse 28. Jesus then goes on and says, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now we read that and we think, makes sense. Yeah, He's Jesus, He's God. Of course, He's Lord of the Sabbath. These were some of the most offensive words these religious leaders could hear. Because Jesus, in that statement, is saying, "I am God." And none of them believed that Jesus was God. Every one of them hearing that thought they heard a crazy man speaking sacrilege. And don't think that Jesus didn't know it when he said it. He says, let's make this very clear about the Sabbath. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. You think you know the law of the Sabbath? And you think you're something special because you added all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of extra laws? Let me tell you, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. You don't tell me they're breaking it or not breaking it. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I was there at creation. I created the world. I was part of creation. I wrote the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Don't tell me. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Number three, legalism focuses on self. Gospelism focuses on the Savior. The disciples had no problem disregarding the religious leaders because they were following the Savior. I want to tell you, those disciples got it wrong quite a bit. And I kind of, and this is going to sound bad, I kind of like when we see the disciples stumble and do dumb stuff. Can I just be honest? It makes me feel better about myself. I was like, well, God, Jesus didn't give up on Peter. Okay. You know? I mean, they did some pretty dumb stuff. Right? I mean, remember the time James and John, brothers, and, you know, they're going through this town, and they want to go through this one area, and I'm just kind of a quick paraphrasing of this, and the people wouldn't let them go through there, and James and John was like, "Do you want us to call down lightning from heaven and destroy this city?" Jesus is like, "No. What is wrong with you guys, you know?" The time that Peter's, you know, it's like this holy moment, you know, and the transfiguration, this holy moment of Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and they're seeing, you know, this glory of them. And Peter, like, even in the most holy of moment, can't keep his mouth shut. "Should I build a tabernacle for each of you?" "No!" What's wrong with you, Peter? Listen. We have a lot of examples where the disciples didn't get it right. But I'm going to tell you one thing they always got right. No matter how often they may have stumbled or given wrong answers or should have shut up and didn't, here's what they always got right. They never stopped following after Jesus because they knew they needed Him. And I think that's part of why Jesus chose them. They were not, trust me, they were not the ones who would have been chosen. Man looks at the outward appearance, the Scriptures say, but God looks at the heart. And I want you to know something today. I don't care how many times you may have screwed up, messed up. you follow after Jesus, and I guarantee you, he will never give up on you. Amen? That's the heart of the gospel. Some of you, maybe because of your background, some of you have been trying so hard to do all of this list of things, trying so hard. Please accept me, God. Please accept me. And you don't understand who God accepts. He doesn't accept the one with a whole list of accomplished ones. He accepts the ones who come empty-handed and say, I am in desperate need of you. May we as a church never lose sight of that. There will never be a person that walks through these doors, no matter what they've done, no matter how many times they've done it, where we won't say, which is the motto of this church, come as you are. Just don't stay that way. Amen. We'll take you wherever you're at. But we're going to love you enough to say, but don't stay that way. Let Jesus change you. Jack Deere, in his book, Surprised by the Power of a Spirit, said this: the essence of legalism is trusting in the religious activity rather than trusting in God. It is putting our confidence in a practice rather than a person. And without fail, this will lead us to love the practice more than the person. That's huge. Leave that up for a little bit. Some of you are taking a picture of it, and I'm glad you are, because this is the heart of the issue right here. If you allow legalism to become part of your life, then it becomes about what you do instead of who he is. It is always about the person, not the practice. Are there rules and regulations we're to live within? Of course, God gives boundaries for our lives. But our righteousness isn't found in observing them. Our righteousness is found in the person of Jesus Christ, our identity in him. I didn't put this as a main point, but let me just share this. When we lose sight of that, we become self-righteous people. And when we become self-righteous people, we no longer share the same heart for broken, hurting people. If a person ever comes in here broken, dirty, smelly, the smell of marijuana, alcohol, homeless, like someone, and I'm saying that kind of America today would say, in a church. If we don't embrace that person, love that person, and see no difference between them and us before God, then we don't get the gospel. The beauty of this place, of this body, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter what you've done or don't do. It doesn't matter what your job or isn't. We all have the same standing before God. We are all spiritual beggars in need of God's redeeming grace. Amen. Disconnect from that, and we become a self-righteous people where some people won't feel comfortable coming here because they won't be embraced and they won't be loved. I want to just read the story and then end, because chapter 3 then gives now an example. So Jesus teaches about the Sabbath, and then we have an example of what he chooses to do on the Sabbath. So let me just read it real quick and give you the last 2 points, and then we will go have ourselves a picnic. Yeah. Not sure why I said it like that. All right. But I did. All right, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched. I mean, this is, sometimes one verse will stick out to me. Of all the verses we look at, one verse will just stick with me. And this is the verse 2. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him.
I mean, just stop for a moment and think about how pathetic this is. They're waiting to see if Jesus will heal and transform a person's life, not to celebrate that, but to use it to accuse Jesus of breaking their man-made laws. How far from the heart of Jesus these religious leaders were. They did not listen. He said he came not for the righteous. I came for the sick. I came for the hurting. I'm a doctor, a spiritual doctor that comes to heal the spiritually poor. And they missed it. And here is this opportunity for healing. And all they can think about is not the man being healed, but what a great opportunity to accuse him. It's sickening. Number four, legalism accuses people. Gospelism celebrates people. I want to be a church that isn't constantly looking to accuse people. I want to be a church that celebrates what God does in people's lives. Amen? Amen. I want redemption stories. I want weekly stories of God redeeming people. You don't always get to hear it, but stories that we hear of what God is doing in people's lives, and we probably need to try to figure a way to tell these stories better, just in recovery group, that isn't even that long, what God is doing in our recovery ministry. Legalism, a legalistic church looks to accuse. A gospel-centric church celebrates when the prodigal runs home. We weep for that kind of thing. We love that kind of thing. It gets our motors revving when those things happen. Not these, oh, I don't want healing. We want him to do something wrong. And then look at verse 3 through 6. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. Like he's like, I'm done with them. I'm just going to like do what I'm going to do. And he said to them, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. He didn't know how to answer that. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to them, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Number five, legalism destroys, gospelism heals. There are enough hands that went up today to know that probably in this place are some people that still carry some scars from the place they should have never received those scars. From the church. From church people. Not accepted. Not embraced. Maybe your inability to live up to all these rules and regulations and standards. Listen, I've lived through that. I loved my college experience. You know, we couldn't play cards. We could play Rook, but we couldn't play cards. Why? I don't know. Was the Joker a devil? Was he satanic? I don't know. Well, you could not play cards at my school. I don't know if association with gambling. I don't know. To this day, I'm not even sure. But you could play Rook. Play the same principles of a card game, but you could play Rook, but not playing cards. Couldn't go to movies. On video, you could watch a G-rated movie, NPG, if the PG movie got approved by the Dean of Men and Women. Couldn't hold hands. I think if you got engaged, you were allowed to hold hands on campus. But you know what really happened? Down by the lake. We had a little saying, it's where the ducks go quack, quack, and the lips go smack, smack. Not me, of course, because I was holy, waiting for my bride. I remember when, this is going to date me, some of you will, and some of you are like, what? Stephen Curtis Chapman, when he came out with the album The Great Adventure. Anybody remember that? Oh, okay. So I really liked Stephen Curtis Chapman. So they came out with the album, and then they sent a note to every student that was put in every box. Look at this. We didn't have email, okay? So they put it in every mailbox. Every student had a mailbox, and they put it in there. They had Stephen Curtis Chapman's 10 songs, and they marked, you can listen to that one, you can't listen to that one or that one, you can listen to this one, that one's too rocky, so you can't listen to that, you can listen to this, not that, not that, you can listen to this. Now listen, I say that, and there's a lot that's changed since 19. Hey! Look, I'm dancing, you legalists! I mean, if you want to call that dancing, I'm not really sure I'd call it dancing. Whatever it was. Get the album. Listen to the whole thing. It's a good album, by the way. But, you know, and I say, lots changed since 90 to 93, okay, at my college. Okay, so I want to be careful there. And for me, I was a brand new Christian. I probably needed some stricter, you know, boundaries in my life. So I really don't look back with regret or anything like that, other than to say this. I started becoming a legalist and didn't realize it, even as a young Christian. I remember one time where a girl gave me a ride home, because I would school out in Pennsylvania, and she was going to where I was, so she gave me a ride. And I remember she had music in that wasn't Christian music. Yeah. And it wasn't even it wasn't satanic music, which I don't know, whatever that means. But I remember rebuking her in the Lord. Person who's giving me a free ride, by the way, rebuking her for the Lord, but not, I remember thinking she didn't love the Lord as much as I did because of what she was listening to. I remember getting a job, at the department store. I think it was called Hess Department Store. It's Scranton, Pennsylvania. Working with a very obvious homosexual man. And remember, this was me at 21 in this environment. Being disgusted to even work with him. I'm going to tell you, thank God, he opened my eyes and helped me see I was going down a road of legalism in my life, where I actually thought I was better than other people because of the stuff I did or didn't do that they did. I already know what the heart of Jesus was for that young man that I worked with. Compassion, love, a desire for him to embrace the gospel. Me, I was disgusted by him. And God had to break me and remove that legalism out of my heart. So I want to encourage all of us to say, Lord, am I truly a gospelist? Is that really what flows out of me, the gospel, towards any person I see in my walk with you? Or is there legalism in my own life that I need to repent of today? Let's pray together.